This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Here's another Saturday Magazine podcast brought to you by Joy sponsor, Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
This is Saturday Magazine.
You are on Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9. Tess, we've seen in recent times the Therapeutic Goods Administration. They announced that they had done a review of the impacts of poppers, Amyl, and that they'd had some evidence, they said, that it was very, very harmful and that they were going to prescribe it, basically put it on the same list of drugs as, you know, heroin and other such things. There's a bit of a community outcry about that because a lot of people didn't agree with the evidence that the TGA had. And as I said, there was quite a public response, and the Therapeutic Goods Administration, I'm not sure if they have done this before, our next guest will be able to tell us, they've actually opened this up for submissions, and I believe those submissions close in the next few days. Someone who's pretty much across this issue is Paul Kidd. Good morning, Paul. How are you?
G'day, it's great to be here.
It is.
Happy New Year to you, Paul. Yes. It's Tess here.
And you too, Tess.
And congratulations on, passing your law degree.
Thank you. That was a little while ago now.
It was, but, you know, we hadn't spoken to you for a while. So the TGA, Paul, have they before had public submissions on medication, or is this something that's quite unusual?
Oh, no, it's quite normal.
Okay.
The process that's used by the TGA is always a process that involves the publication of interim decisions and then the taking of input. It's a little unusual that there's a degree of public interest in those decisions.
Yeah.
Decisions about scheduling of medicines. So usually it's an industry type of a process. But certainly the interim decision that was published in September, the response to that has been fairly clear, and I think all of the submissions that certainly are published on the TGA website opposed that decision. So
what was the decision, Paul? What was the interim decision?
So the interim decision is, at the moment, poppers, which are amyl nitrate and other chemicals in a class of chemicals called alkyl nitrites, which most people would understand are used by gay men to enable receptive anal sex to be more comfortable and more pleasurable and easier and less painful. Those are currently listed on a document called the Poison Standard under Schedule 4. And because of the way they're listed, it's possible to buy those products from your local sex shop or from various other retailers with some limitations. But because of a number of reports of eye damage that are associated with use of these products, the TGA is proposing to change them and put them into a different area of the document called Schedule 9. And Schedule 9 is the prohibited drugs section. So poppers would go into the same scheduling category as heroin and cocaine and methamphetamine and all the other very serious drugs, and would attract the same kinds of penalties for use, manufacture, trafficking, etc. So people who currently use those products to enable sex would find themselves potentially in a criminal situation if they continue to use them.
Paul, thank you very much for that clarification. We have had a question from one of our listeners this morning called John, who wants to know what are the recognised harmful effects of the use of poppers. Are you able to talk to us about that? Are there any?
I can certainly go through that, and I should clarify before I say anything that I'm not a scientist or a medical doctor, but obviously we've been working on this. The issue that's caused this rescheduling proposal to come into being is reports of a condition called Popper's maculopathy. And that is a ophthalmic condition, and it's a reported condition where people who are very heavy users of poppers have experienced changes in their vision, which are permanent. And that's obviously a very serious potential side effect. The other problems that occur with poppers are mostly due to misuse. So most people who've used poppers would be aware that you can get some skin irritation from it and skin burns that can be unpleasant. The more serious issue that can occur is that people sometimes mistakenly drink the product. It is poison, and there have been cases where people have died from drinking an entire bottle of poppers, and that's obviously very unfortunate. And there is a further problem that is associated with very high levels of use, a form of anemia that is relatively easily diagnosed and treated, but that can be serious if left untreated, and that can be associated with either drinking the product or with very high levels of inhalation.
Paul, they're fairly isolated cases, aren't they? Sorry to interrupt. I know you're going to finish in a second.
Yeah, the other one I'll just quickly mention is when poppers are used in combination with erectile dysfunction drugs, there can be an effect on people's blood pressure. But the issue that's particularly driving this, though, is the maculopathy issue, the ophthalmic problem. And when we've done an analysis of the data that shows that, in fact, there's very strong evidence that that problem is linked to a particular form of alkyl nitrates called isopropyl nitrate, which isn't really commonly sold as a poppers product in Australia. The more commonly sold products don't seem to have this problem. And what's actually happened where these problems have occurred is that they've occurred after poppers have been outlawed. So the EU outlawed poppers a few years ago. The manufacturers responded by substituting a product that's less effective and that has this side effect. So in fact, you know, what you end up with is a well-intentioned process of changing the availability of a product due to concerns about its toxicity that actually lead to further problems. And there have been deaths in the UK associated with isopropyl nitrate use and in Europe, and there have been these, as I say, these problems with people's eyes. But in places where poppers are not prohibited, such as the United States, they don't seem to have these issues. And in places where they are prohibited, they do seem to arise. And so we're just concerned that, as well as criminalisation, that we'll end up with manufacturers substituting goodness knows what for the product that we all are aware of and that has that level of relatively safe use over a long period of time, and that's going to lead to negative health outcomes for our community.
So, Paul, you're part of an alliance that's actually doing some advocacy work and encouraging people to make submissions to the TGA. If any of our listeners this morning wish to actually participate in that, how can they do that?
Yeah, there's a document that we've produced, and so the group of us, there's just five of us who are just, it's an informal ad hoc advocacy that we just, a group of people with some expertise and interest who are concerned by this development. We've produced a document that sets out the issues and gives some suggestions about the kinds of things people can do in a submission. The submission doesn't have to be a great detailed document. It could just be a few paragraphs about your personal experience. You can make it anonymously. And in particular, we're really concerned that the TGA doesn't seem to understand how gay men use these products. And how important that they are for at least some people in our community. So if you've used poppers and you find them useful to reduce the discomfort of receptive anal sex, or if you have pain with anal sex that you've relieved with poppers, or if you have experienced anal fissures or tears as a consequence of anal sex, and that poppers have been helpful in preventing reoccurrence of that, I think that's what the TGA really needs to hear. Yeah. Is that these are products that are widely used in the community. There are 40 or 45% of gay men say they use these products at least once in a while. They're very widely used. There are very few health problems that are associated with them, and they really do serve an important therapeutic purpose in enabling us to have really enjoyable, fun, pleasurable sex.
So, Paul, once again, where can our listeners find this document and this material?
It's online. Maybe what I can do is ask you guys to tweet the link out, because it's an sure. incredibly long URL that I can't give you over the radio. But if you guys have got that link and can tweet it out, or I'll tweet it, people can get it that way. But it is available around there, and people can always reach out to me on Twitter. My Twitter handle is Paul Kidd, all one word, PAULKIDD, and I'll provide the link to people. The deadline for submissions is this Tuesday, so it's really soon. It's on the 15th of January. But as I say, it's a relatively simple process. The document that we've produced provides that information about what goes in there. It only needs to be a few paragraphs, and it can be, you can do it anonymously.
Fantastic.
Okay, well, if you tweet the link, and we will retweet it, and we'll also put that web address on the podcast of our chat with you, which will be up later today.
Thanks very much, guys.
Good on you, Paul. Thank you for your hard work.
Yes, much appreciated.
Hi, this is John Borghetti, the CEO of Virgin Australia. Just like Joy 94.9, we are flying high and proud.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.